Whit Monday is a popular holiday for a lot of different European countries, and is celebrated on the day after Pentecost. On this day, that could change depending on the year, everyone is usually off of work and get together with their friends and family in order to celebrate. This day is particularly important to a small town in Birmingham, England, called Ardington. This beautiful town has a lot of history to it, because it has existed since the 9th century. Unfortunately, some of its history is quite dark, and in 1975, it seemed to get even darker. On May 27th of that same year, on Whit Monday, the body of a 20-year-old girl named Barbara Forrest was found. Her clothes were ripped, and her body and neck were both severely bruised. It wasn't until the lead investigator got to the scene and saw the victim's face that this murder changed into one of Ardington's biggest mysteries. This is the story of the Carbon Copy Murders. Welcome to Origin Mysteries. Everyone who has lived or spent time in Ardington knows the story of Mary Ashford, who died mysteriously in 1817. So it didn't take long for everyone to put the pieces together. Shockingly, both girls, Barbara and Mary, were strangled, sexually assaulted, and killed at the same age on the same day of May 27th. Oddly enough, May 27th in 1817 and in 1974 were also both Whit Monday. The similarities of both murders didn't stop there. Both girls attended parties, which led them late into the night, and both were found close to the same location. The key suspects of both murders, which were both arrested and charged with murder, had the same last names, Thornton. 157 years before Barbara's death, a man named George Jackson stumbled upon a mound of women's clothing near a water-filled pit. Thinking it was strange, he alerted the police, and once the pit was emptied, the body of Mary Ashford was found, along with footprints that were of a man and a woman, leading away into a nearby field. The night of her death, Mary had been at a dance with her friends, Heather Cox, Heather's boyfriend Benjamin Carter, and another friend, Abraham Thornton. After the dance, the four were seen leaving together. Heather and Benjamin both left Mary in order to head to their own homes, and Abraham walked Mary back to her house. At 4 a.m., Mary showed up at Hannah's house to change back into her normal clothes, and then decided to return home. Two witnesses said they both saw Mary walking along Chester Road a little after 4 a.m., but that was the last time she was seen alive. After gathering up all the witnesses' information, the police decided that Abraham Thornton had to be the killer, so they arrested him. When he was arrested is when he first discovered the death of Mary, and he was distraught to say the least. He stated to the investigators that Mary and him had intercourse in the fields close to where her body was found, around 3 a.m. Afterwards, he walked her part of the way back to Hannah's house. He then said she never showed back up, so he just went home. Abraham Thornton's trial began on August 8th. During this time, three witnesses were able to verify Abraham's alibi. This, in conjunction with a lack of concrete evidence, led the jury to deliver a not guilty verdict. Mary's brother, William Ashford, refused to accept the jury's decision and appealed for a second trial. Then, in a strange twist of antiquated legal events, Lord Ellenborough, who judged the case, allowed Abraham to defend his not guilty verdict with a trial by battle, which was essentially a fight to the death to prove one's innocence. Abraham made a show of it by throwing a leather glove over his head to initiate the challenge. Mary's brother, however, didn't respond, And because of this, the case was ultimately discharged because William didn't accept the fight, and Abraham walked. The public wasn't convinced of his innocence. So much so, that Abraham eventually fled his home for the United States. Mary's murder was never solved, and left a bad mark on the Erdington community. Now exactly 157 years later, they had to live it all over again. As you already know, on May 27, 1974, Barbara Forrest was found dead near the same area on Chester Road in Erdington. Killed in the same manner, it was a total shock to the community. The night of Barbara's death, she was with her boyfriend dancing at a number of different bars. Her boyfriend, Simon Belcher, said he walked her to the bus at 1 a.m., and that was the last time he saw her alive. As you can imagine, a large manhunt ensued, which all led to one person, Michael Ian Thornton. Michael lived on Chester Road and was Barbara's co-worker. Once the police looked into Michael, they found bloodstained clothing and a false alibi, which was from his mother. He was then arrested and charged with Barbara's murder. Similar to the Thornton and Mary Ashford's case 157 years ago, this Thornton was found not guilty due to the lack of evidence. To draw yet another similarity, Barbara Forrest's sister, Erica, refused to accept the verdict. In 2012, she demanded the case be reopened and DNA evidence reviewed. Still to this day, both murders are left unsolved. The most disturbing part of both of these stories are not only do they look very similar, but weeks before their own deaths, both women predicted something terrible would happen to them. Barbara had told a coworker just 10 days before her murder that this was going to be my unlucky month, and I just know it. Don't ask me why. Mary also stated something very similar, saying she had a bad feeling about the week to come. What do you think about these two murders? Do you think it'll ever be solved? And do you think that there's possibly another similarity between the two? Send me a message on Instagram, at Origin Mysteries, to let me know what you think. Our next story is about two of my favorite things, time travel and murder. This is the story of the strange case of Rudolph Fentz. In 1950, a man that looked like he was from the past showed up in Times Square, only to be almost immediately hit by a car and killed. He had mutton chop sideburns and a Victorian era dubs, and witnesses said he looked very startled. The officials at the morgue searched his body and found the following items in his pockets. A copper token for a beer worth 5 cents, bearing the name of a saloon which was unknown. A bill for the care of a horse and the washing of a carriage drawn by a liverly stable on Lexington Avenue that was not listed in any address book. Around $70 in old banknotes. Business cards with the same name, Rudolph Fentz, and an address on Fifth Avenue. A letter that was sent to this address in June 1876 from Philadelphia. Oddly enough, none of these objects showed any signs of aging. The missing persons department of the NYPD tried using this information to identify the man. They found that the address on Fifth Avenue was part of a business, and his current owner did not know who Rudolph Fence was. Fence's name was not listed in any address book, his fingerprints were not recorded anywhere, and no one had reported him missing. Now, they continued investigating, and they finally found a Rudolph Fence Jr. in a telephone book in 1939. They spoke to the residents of the apartment building that was listed as the address, who remembered Fence and described him as a man about 60 years of age who had worked nearby. After his retirement, he moved to an unknown location in 1940. Contacting the bank, the NYPD was told that Fence died 5 years before, but his widow was still alive but lived in Florida. So the NYPD contacted her and learned that her husband's father had disappeared in 1876 at the age of 29. He had left the house for an evening walk and never returned. Is it possible that this Rudolph Fence that showed up in Times Square in 1950 was actually that of Rudolph Fence that lived in 1876? Well, this story was published many times throughout the 1970s and 80s, and everyone believed it to be true. In 2000, a folklore researcher believed that the story was indeed fictional, but could never find the original source. Another person, named George Murphy, believed it was a story written by Jack Finney, who was a famous science fiction writer, yet no copies of this story have ever been found, and Jack died before he could be questioned. What's even stranger is a large number of researchers have claimed that they have found evidence of the real Rudolph Fence, and he is that of the man that disappeared at the age of 29 in 1876. So is it possible that Fence somehow time-traveled into the future to only die in just a few minutes? Or is it just another case of false identity? This is Origin Mysteries. Experience the mysterious. Thanks for listening to my podcast. This episode was written and narrated by me, Cameron Rainey. Make sure you're following us on all social media platforms at Origin Mysteries. I'm starting to post there more often, and each post corresponds to each episode. So you definitely want to check that out. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.